in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We are certainly appreciative of the presence of everyone this evening. It is always a joy for me to see people that I've known for a long time. Alton taught our daughters in high school. I can't remember exactly what he taught them. Seemed like they were also his student aides from time to time. And I call him the big hickernut, because he used to refer to his children as little hickernuts. It's good to see him and his wife. And Dan Pinion came over with Noah, and he stayed with us a while. If you don't know Dan, you hadn't been to many gospel meetings. Because when I lived in Skyla at Warrior, Dan and I went to a lot of meetings, and he continues to do that. Jeff was a boy when I moved to Skyline Drive years ago. And we spent a lot of time together in many ways, studying, singing. He and Penny are a fine young couple. I guess they're getting older, but to me they'll always be a young couple. And glad to be with them. And for each and every one of you, I know that many of you have been here every night. But Union, I expect you to see you every night. I think every member of the congregation has a privilege and opportunity to support their work, and I think brethren ought to work together so that it is most expedient and convenient for the members to be at gatherings as much as you can. Certainly we're mindful of the fact of Joe's, the tragedy in his family. This evening, the Lord willing, I'd like to consider with you the fact of the Bible about sin. Sin on this earth began with a lie. And you and I need to understand and grasp the implications of that and how it is still true today. Sin is the biggest lie that is going on in this world. In the third chapter of Genesis, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. It's not a difficult, a challenging, or anything monumental to just look at the passage of the Bible and see the obvious contrast, the obvious things that are there. She had just said that God said they would die. And the serpent says, you won't die. Somebody's lying. And oftentimes, the simplicity of conflicts come down to that simple matter. Somebody's lying. And things that are opposite are not true. That is to say, both of them are not. In John the 8th chapter, Jesus was talking with the Jews about their ancestry, and they were talking about the value of their being the sons or the children of Abraham. He shocked them, I guess is the word. In John 8, in verse 44, "Ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. There is such simple yet obvious contrast in the Bible. God is truth. The Word of God is true. The devil is a liar. His words are lies. And that opposite can never be reconciled. When men try to coincide or mingle the Word of God with the doctrine of devils, it can never be right. Just as a very foundation and the very truth of the matter. Lies are influential because they are oftentimes mingled with truth. Look at verse 5 in the book of Genesis. The serpent continues his argument by saying, "God knows." Well, I think God knew this. And I think this has some truth to it as well. That when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. But you won't die. That's a lie. We get in a situation where we talk about half truths and not telling the whole truth. We need to go back and look at the Bible for our guidance. Children need to be taught about honesty and what is honest. Don't ever try to deceive your child with a little white lie. Don't ever try to be anything but honest with your children, your grandchildren. When Tammy was real little, she'd go shopping. I had a bad habit of asking Terry how much she spent. And she'd say, we spent $13. And Tammy would come in and she said, "Daddy, that's not true. Mother spent $13.45. Children know. That didn't really matter how much Terry spent, and I probably shouldn't have been as interested but from then on, she let Tammy tell how much they spent. Honesty. People sin because sin is oftentimes pleasant. Let's compare a thought over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. You remember the passage? Hebrews 11, verse 24. Where the writer there is illustrating a thought with the man Moses. By faith, Moses. Hebrews 11, verse 24. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is a lie. Sin is a lie. Advertisement in the world today is based upon a lie. Things used to be advertised, such as cigarettes. And that lie came to kill a lot of people. It amazes me that people will disregard the truth. And so they do today with alcoholic beverages. You never see a bum laying in the gutter with a beer can in our advertisements. It's always with the height of living, the grandeur of money, the desire of things, beautiful people. That's a lie. All you've got to do is go to any hospital, any aged home, or just meet some of, maybe even your own kinfolks. I never forget when the girls were little, they'd say, "What happened to him?" And some of these were Terry's kinfolks, and she'd try to get it, and after a while, I just started telling the girls, "He's a drunk." They knew what that meant. Why have they aged beyond their time? They're drunk. They're addicted to the lies that are on this earth. Sin is a lie. Romans 6 and verse 23. There the writer says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin would lead to death. This death is eternal separation from God. It's obvious. It is the antithesis of what is the gift of God. To be with God. But to be separated from God is the consequences of sin. But sin doesn't tell you that. But you know that because the Bible teaches that. Sin in our lives is our responsibility. Genesis 3, verse 6. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She did it. Eve took that fruit and ate it. Sin is an individual responsibility. If you sin, you did it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The father shall not bear the iniquity, nor the son the iniquity of the father. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, about verse 12, "Take heed, lest ye also fall," is the warning of Paul. He's told of these Jews who got involved in sin, and they suffered the consequences. What do we learn from that? You can sin. You're not immune to it. There's no way that you're going to be the exception, though so many think they are. You're not. There's absolutely nothing special about you or me or Joe or anybody here this evening that makes us immune from sin. Let's think just a moment about how does this happen? I hate to meet new people for one reason. They've got new stories of horror of some Christian who has gotten caught up in sin. Now, if you've told me a story this week, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I know it happens. But isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that people know better, yet they sin? How does this happen? Well, first of all, I want to suggest to you that it doesn't happen because people don't know better. My dad had a dreaded question that I hated for him to ask. But I can hear it just as plain as day. "Don't you know better?" And I always had to say, "Yes, sir." I was Barry has to say that because I knew what was coming next, Charles, and that step I did not like. Eve knew better. In Genesis 3 and verse 3, she quotes Genesis 2, verse 17, where God gave the instructions, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's what she told the serpent. You and I can grasp the knowledge readily enough. Little children can be taught the rules, grasp the knowledge, but that temptation is still there. Turn with me to the book of James, if you will. If you're following in your Bible, to the book of James, we'll look at chapter 1. Here, James deals with the progression of sin. James chapter 1. Let's read verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Look particularly at verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when he hath When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death." That's how it happens. And we need to teach each other. We need to teach our children. When we're together, we need to make sure that we impress upon one another to remember how people become sinners. We sing the song, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." Now go back with me to look at the text. What I hope you see is that the Bible clearly states, clearly shows by example, exactly how humanity was introduced to sin. And all people today sin by the same method. Verse 6 of Genesis 3. "And when the woman saw..." She saw it. Well, how many people have ever said, "It doesn't hurt to look. It hurt Eve." Now where's your argument? Don't disregard the clear, concise, obvious facts of the Bible. It hurts to look. Don't look at things you can't have. That's why I shop at Walmart, Charles. They've got not much there that I really want. I'd get Gatorade and some other things, but I don't go in and shop at Bass Pro or Cabela's, because they've got a building full of things that look good to me. And I don't go when I'm not supposed to eat many calories to the bakery shop and just eye and Google and just salivate at those chocolate cakes with that nut and crumb icing. I don't do that. Shopping is dangerous. Shopping is dangerous. Are you ahead of me? Do you see the point? Some of you got to be old enough to remember that old song, standing on the street corner and watching all the girls go by. That's the point. But I'm not going to let it lie there and hope you get it. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, Matthew 5, verse 28, Jesus has said, well, let's read verse 27 and we'll see the format that he's following here in his study. Matthew 5, 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Looketh to lust. The word lust is a word that simply means desire. How many times have you been in public and seen a woman slap her husband? There's no flies on him. He had his eyes where it ought not be. It's embarrassing if that couple you know to be a Christian. Don't look at things you can't have. People quit asking me such questions. Isn't she pretty? I don't know. I've seen one pretty woman in the last 50 years. Now you think I'm kidding. There's only one pretty woman on this earth, and that's Terry Arlene Barnhill Andrews. Prettiest thing ever stepped on God's earth. Now, you may not agree with me, and that's all right. I don't want you looking at my wife. Our relationship should not be one of physical attraction in any way. I have a lot of friends and people that I love who are Christians. But that relationship is not based on physical. Spiritual. Spiritual. People who adorn themselves of the inner man, as we talked about the other night. Shopping is dangerous. Shopping is dangerous. And then notice back there to Genesis 3 and verse 6. She desired. To make one wise. Coveted almost. Make you as gods. Why do people sin? They want to be somebody they're not. People have a lot of problems convincing themselves that they're okay the way they are. The older I get, the more I wonder how in the world I grew up without any hang-ups. Well, I know why. I didn't have sense enough to worry about if anybody cared whether I wore red socks to the graduation or not. As long as mother and daddy let me out of the house, that was fine to me. And it didn't matter to me that I was different from the people that were in school with me. There was a lot of worms in Levy County when I was growing up, and a lot of people chewed tobacco to try to kill them. Or for some reason, I don't know why they did it, but they did. It didn't bother to me that they thought I wasn't a real man. Do you want to be somebody you're not? Are you satisfied, young man, young lady, to be nothing more than a simple, plain, everyday New Testament Christian? If not, you're going to have trouble with sin. Because somebody will say, well, if you want to be somebody, you ought to be a member of Blue Key, because there's never been anybody in the state legislature our state politics that didn't go through Blue Key at the University of Florida. Well, sign me up. No. I'm not interested in your invitation. Do you have to be? Is there somebody you want to be? Is there some picture that you paint yourself to look like? Is there some status, some resume that you think you ought to be? Tear it up. Because that's how we sin. We'll find ways to accomplish that. And there's a conflict with the will of God. And we sin. Again, we don't have the ability to keep sin to ourselves. That's why your bad breath is offensive to us. Because you can do something about it. Ever bought somebody anonymously a bottle of scope? Well, it works. But sin's not that way. Sin is going to affect somebody else. She took it. She ate it. And she gave it to her husband to eat. And you know the rest of the story. The whole of humanity has grown up in a world that is characterized and plagued by sin. Because not only did she eat, Adam did as well. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. I talked with a young man the other day who is a Christian in the sense that he was baptized when he was younger. He's now married and has four children. I've pled with him, I've cried with him, and my latest approach is this. A little boy ran by and I said, when you were young, your mother and daddy took you to worship God. They taught you the Bible. They gave you the opportunity to be associated with the best people on this earth. And your children deserve the same thing. He just bowed his head. You don't love your children. People don't love their children if they deprive them of the knowledge of God. It's a terrible thing. Let me tell you something. In any action that you take as an individual or group, it's a terrible thing to hinder anyone from obeying God. We'll answer for it. We need to be careful. What does one do when sin enters one's life? This is a very practical question. There, I would say at least once in our lives, every one of us needs to know the answer to that. And the first thing that must be done is we've got to admit as well as know that we're a sinner. Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. I want to tell you something. People can glaze their eyes over, they can sear their conscience. which a lot of people have these days, and some of them go to church on Sunday, that they don't know when they're naked. I'm astounded at some second or third generation Christians whose mothers are as godly and modestly dressed as anybody I've ever seen, who allow their children to go half naked. The word undergarment, underwear, defines itself. If it's outer or seen, it's no longer under. I don't know how to be any plainer than that. How can you let your children and your grandchildren walk around that way? They're naked. Nobody thinks about it. She's the sweetest little thing. Nobody. Why, you're just a dirty old man. Don't come to me 10 years from now or 15 and say, "Brother Tommy, you just won't believe. Yeah, I'd believe it. She's pregnant, isn't she? You can't advertise without somebody buying. Plain enough. Their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. Let me tell you what naked people do. They make clothes. Walmart wasn't available. Maybe Walmart doesn't have any modest apparel. And when God's people depend on stylists for modest clothes, the Lord has lost and the devil has won. Because modern style is not anything but attractive to the opposite sex. That's what it's all about. If not, we just wear old Croker sacks. Those are becoming collector's items, in case you didn't know that. I saw an old feed sack today that a fellow wanted $100 for. An old Purina, all cotton feed. Well, anyway. Got to break that seriousness a little bit. What are we going to do about it? Well, we need to take steps of correction. They clothed themselves. At first they tried to hide from God. But you can't hide from God. You shouldn't be able to hide from brethren, but sometimes people do for a while. But our example in the New Testament did not hide from anybody. Acts chapter 8. Yes, Simon the sorcerer was converted, just like the rest of the Samaritans. He was baptized in the same way, and he rose to walk in newness of life, a new creature, just like everybody else did there. And then, well, you know, he sinned. He sinned. In verse 20 of Acts 8, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Acts 8:22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and the bond of iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray ye to God the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come unto me." You've got to repent. I've got to repent. We've all got to repent of our sins, because God is aware of them. And sin is a transgression of the law of God. And as Habakkuk said, "Thine eyes are too pure." Isaiah said, thy sins and thy iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. Sin separates us from God. You can't go to heaven in sin. Oh, you may, as they do a lot of times, slip in the back door and sit there for a while. And then somebody says, come on up front. And you go up front. And then maybe they'll ask you to lead in prayer. That sin that caused you to fall away years ago may be forgotten. But God didn't forget it. God knows it. And you need to repent. It's not because we're vindictive. It's not because you must do it because I had to do it. It's because we're a sinner. And God only has a place prepared for His saints. Why not repent? Well, sometimes it is the same reason that causes people to sin in the first place. The desire. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes we won't admit in our heart. But study the Bible. Study the Word of God. God has made provision through His Son that at the end of our day, we may stand justified in His sight. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, through Jesus Christ. Forgive me my sins. Must come from the heart. Must be in regard to a specific sin. People need to repent of specifically what they did, as publicly as it is publicly known, as thoroughly as it is publicly understood. What about you? Are you a Christian? To become a Christian, you must repent of your past sins. Confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a Christian, you, along with Simon and others, must repent and pray to God that the thought of your heart and the sin that you've committed would be forgiven. God is merciful, God is gracious, and God is just. And He invites you, in the words of Jesus, come unto me all ye that labor. We encourage you this evening.